Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to the Friday Morning Show here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you experience life and spirituality. Today is June 16th, 2017, and on today's show, we are going to be talking about A Course in Miracles. I always share this slot with Mark Husson, and, you know, we do a number of things during this slot, but when it's my turn, usually I talk about A Course in Miracles. And I'm excited to welcome back author Susan Dugan, who's a friend of mine. She facilitates workshops here in Denver. She does a lot of talks. And so I always look forward to having a really rousing discussion with her as we just, you know, look and see what's going on in our lives. And today we've decided that we're going to look and discuss the ACIM workbook lesson number 41, which is God goes with me wherever I go. And speaking of going with us wherever we go, one of the things we do is we go over to Facebook because we have a private group over there where you can join us. You can post questions or you can just post comments as you're listening to the show today. And if you're new and you've never been over there, welcome. I'm so glad that you found us here on 1-2 Radio. And this is how you can get over there, though. If you go to our radio website, which is 12radio.com, what you're going to see on the left side of the page is a column that has a number of different options. If you go to chat and you click that, you'll automatically be redirected over to Facebook where you can join the group. And our producer today is Christy Brower, and she'll be watching for you. If anybody's over there knocking at the door, I'm sure she'll let you in. So go ahead and you can come over there and join us. And I see there's some people already there. Hi, Jan. Thanks for coming and being here this morning. So I said that my guest is Susan Dugan. And Susan is the author of three books that I highly, highly recommend, because I think not only are they wonderful, you know, adjuncts to A Course in Miracles, but they're funny. And I always think sometimes when I tell Susan that maybe that's an insult, but it really isn't. It's like, I so resonate to what she writes that I find it funny. And, you know, let's face it, in this life, there's good reason to be laughing. I mean, we need to have a good laugh every once in a while. So I'll remind you, her books are Extraordinary, Ordinary Forgiveness, Forgiveness Offers Everything I Want, and Forgiveness, the Key to Happiness. And so if you Google her name or if you go to Amazon, those kinds of places, you'll be able to find her books. And like I said, I highly recommend them. And they're the kind of books, too, where you can literally just open up to a chapter and read, because they're essays on basically her practicing, you know, just going through life and her practice of A Course in Miracles. And so I highly recommend those. You might want to kind of be on that journey with her, too. She's also the co-founder of the School for A Course in Miracles here in Denver, Colorado, and she facilitates a lot of groups. I mean, like I said, she teaches, and she also has a weekly discussion group, which is wonderful. They're going through the text, so doing lots of stuff. And I know that she also does her own blog, which is Forays in Forgiveness, and she often posts interviews that she has done with people and just a lot of special stuff over there. So I'll make sure that I do post that over in the private group on Facebook. And hey, good morning, Renee and Kay. Thanks for being here today. So let's just get started. Susan, are you with me today?
I'm with you.
Okay. Hi, and thank you always. Thank you for your wonderful books and for your writings and for just being such a stable person. Well, you are. I can always count on you. You know, I can always count on you, you know, even just in an email or something, to kind of say the right thing and not to put pressure. But, you know, you are the voice, literally, you know, in one of the voices in my life for A Course in Miracles. And I so appreciate that. So
thank you.
Also, thank you so much for suggesting lesson 41, God Goes With Me Wherever I Go. And if you want to share why you decided or why this was the lesson that was kind of popping into your brain this week, you can do that. And if not, that's okay too. We can just kind of get started on the lesson.
Yeah, sure. I'll definitely share why I chose it. It really did just pop into my brain. And it's not a lesson, which is quite surprising, because it's not a lesson that, you know, it's not one of those ones that I return to. We all probably have our favorite lessons that maybe we work with a lot. I don't know. I do. But this is not one of them. And actually, I would have to say this lesson, God goes with me wherever I go. When I first came across it in, you know, my first journey through the workbook, kind of creeped me out, you know, because it was like sort of, I guess maybe being raised Catholic or something, you know, that idea that, you know, that like big brother watching you, like that God is like closer than you think. And he's, I don't know. God was very guilt inducing to me as a child. And so the idea that God was going with me wherever I go is not was not initially a comforting idea. And I honestly think that's true for a lot of us. I think that, and the Course gives us a very good explanation of why that would be. And, you know, because we can at best be, most of us that are raised, even if we're very, only in culturally within a religion, you know, have some familiarity with, Christianity or Judaism, especially in this country. But, you know, many religions, the gods that are presented are very human-like gods, and therefore, you know, the ego is front and center. They're just bigger and more powerful, you know, conflicted humans. And so that, you know, that have these superpowers and can, and, you know, decide our fate. I mean, that's really the attributes that we give to God. Is that he can decide what good and evil are, and he excludes and he includes, and you know, we have to constantly atone for what we did at the beginning and getting cast out of the, you know, Garden of Eden by eating an apple, you know, and things like that. So that's all sort of the mythology that's embedded in most of our consciousness. And the Course gives us an explanation for why we made that mythology up in the first place. And that was this whole idea that, you know, that we, sort of overthrew the kingdom of God, that we're really a oneness joined as one with God. There's one child of God, but we had that tiny mad idea that we could be separate from God. And so, you know, we had this whole fantasy of running away from home and creating a different reality, but we took that tiny mad idea seriously. And as a result, experienced a belief that it really happened and this excruciating guilt. And this whole made up scenario, you know, of a defense against, to try to protect ourselves, that we made up a world and bodies to go, you know, hang out in and find refuge in. And so we ran away from God. That was, you know, the reason why we find ourselves here in the world. That's the Course's underlying metaphysical, mythology that explains sort of the dynamics of what we're dealing with here in the world. And so this lesson, God goes with me wherever I go, is, it really is steeped in the mythology, the metaphysical underlying foundations of the Course. It has both a highly comforting effect on us, but it also has this underlying sort of guilt-inducing effect that I was talking about. But the reason that I really wanted to go to it today was that I did find it reassuring this time. And I realized I had some things come up recently I'm experiencing some real problems with my back from some old injuries that I've had over many injuries that related to, you know, back and hip and ribs and things like that. But the back pain that came up has been very, very persistent, and it's only been about 2 weeks or something, but it's been really hard to deal with. And it seemed to come out of nowhere. It seemed to be one of those things that, you know, where it actually followed a very right-minded experience period in my dream of a life here, in which I was really finding myself, you know, feeling I'd had a real shift around a special relationship, and had a real awareness that I didn't have to keep doing this anymore. I didn't have to keep using this experience to make myself feel rejected and make myself feel, you know, kind of derive my self-worth from the situation. And you know, it was a lifelong pattern, and it was like this final, finally I got to this point of really dropping that defensiveness and that sense of using this again to, you know, for the poor story of suffering Susan. and so I had this really nice shift around that. And it was actually related to my fiction writing and that this sense of rejection that I've had a long relationship with the publishing world in this and, you know, a history of getting very, very close to several big agents and things like that. And then I've gone back to doing some of that writing again, and I got a rejection, and it kind of triggered all of that. And I just, at this time I said, you know, I don't have to do that anymore. And it was a genuine, you know, feeling of just it dropping and, you know, which I attribute really to the work of forgiveness, the daily practice of this, of finally seeing that my self-worth is not in a body. It's not in this person. It's not Susan. You know, our self-worth comes from God. And so I had a very nice, right-minded couple of days and, you know, all my special relationships I was seeing that in. And then, you know, I stepped out of the shower a couple days later and I was in excruciating pain. And the pain hasn't really resolved. I mean, it's gotten manageable, but usually it does resolve rather quickly, but it's become a classroom, I would say. You know, it's sort of an ongoing thing of, well, what is this really about? But the course is perspective is we don't have to analyze it. It's all about the same thing. And so this lesson came to me somewhere in the middle of that first couple of days with the back pain. And I just looked at, you know, I went to it and turned to it. And the very beginning of it says, today's idea will eventually overcome completely the sense of loneliness and abandonment that all the separated ones experience. Depression is an inevitable consequence of separation. So are anxiety, worry, a deep sense of helplessness, misery, suffering, and intense fear of loss. And I just really, you know, realize that, you know, this is all of these universal, states, negative states, emotional states that we think of as part of the human condition, you know, as part of the condition of being in duality, where we sort of have to pay for the good times, you know. We have these highs and lows. We have things that go well for us and then things that don't. And we have these emotional reactions to them. All of that is really, really it's all a symptom of the belief that we're separate from God. And the very act of being born into this world as a body, you know, on some level, kids come in screaming for a good reason. I mean, from the Course's perspective, it's literally saying we chose to come here and, you know, on some level, we feel like we've damned ourselves. You know, that's the story of coming into this world is because of this sin that we perpetrated against God. And of wanting to, you know, be separate and create a different reality and destroy, push love away. And so when we're born into this world, we find ourselves here and it's like, here I am again. Oh no, you know, and now I have my work cut out for me to try to make it work here because on some level we know it can't work here, you know, because we're denying what we really are, the love that we really are, we ran away from. And so, you know, so I just felt like this lesson provided a link back to us remembering that it didn't happen. You know, this is not what we are. And we have that support. You know, it's funny that the back would be out because it's that, you know, I had an experience of remembering that we're one with God, a reflection of that reflected in, you know, here in the dream as realizing that that's not my self-worth. And then it was followed by this fear, this ego backlash, literally, you know, where I ran away again. I became so afraid. Well, what does that mean for me? Because, you know, now we've forgotten that we're part of God, but we're learning very, very slowly to trust that, you know, that through the figure of Jesus or Holy Spirit is the symbol that the Course uses, that we still have this presence within us, this support within us that will uphold us, that will help us learn where our true self-worth lies, and will lead us to a place, you know, not in space and time, but a state in which we remember that we're completely invulnerable. And we don't have to do this anymore. We don't have to keep punishing ourselves for a crime that never happened. You know, what the body does or doesn't do doesn't have to be front and center or even important at all once we truly know at the top of the ladder that we're no longer bodies. But along the way, we can still have times of peace. We can recognize, you know, that's what we're learning here. That we're not just victims of all of this. We're not that baby born into this world that has its work cut out for it, you know, and then has to battle its way through life. That's the way we all walk around. You know, we feel so alone here. and so I just felt in this lesson, there's a wonderful message. And as it goes on, it develops this theme and it introduces us to the idea, to the support that it eventually goes on in the workbook, actually, to say that we can begin to sink beyond this. You know, deep within ourselves is a memory and a support that can never be shaken by any of the tremblings, the constant chaos of the world, that is completely invulnerable and that will never desert us. It's just there for us. And will lead us through these clouds of guilt, which it introduces that theme and that metaphor, which the Course uses quite a lot in the workbook and also as a section of the text. And you know, we're learning that we have this inner teacher that can help us, that if we turn to, you know, is that memory of God within us. And so God goes with us wherever we go because we didn't do that. We're not separate, you know, and it's a loving God. It's not the God we grew up with. It's an all-loving, unconditionally loving God that would never punish us, that wants, you know, only our happiness and is endlessly supporting us despite these nightmares that we're having, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even here in the dream, we can connect with that memory. That memory is there for us. It has our back, you know.
Right. Well, and I don't know if you and I had discussed this or not, but we've actually been running a series here on 1-2 Radio on Fridays called Losing My Religion.
Oh, really?
Yes. And it basically, you know, it's been different people hosting it every Friday. It's been part of our series called 1-2 Originals. But people talking about what it's like to undo basically all the messages that we grew up with, especially those of us who grew up in very strict religions. Like I also grew up Catholic. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was funny when you started talking about that because people are going to go, oh, is this the Losing My Religion series? You know, and it's not. But, you know, the Course talks a lot about undoing.
Yes.
You know, it's not what you have to do. It's what you have to undo. And many of the people that hosted the, you know, Losing My Religion series, that's what they talked about. Undoing those messages. And, you know, it's funny too when I post on Facebook what's coming up for this particular show, I will admit some of the lessons I don't want to post what they say. And this is one of them. I was reticent. I just wanted to say lesson 41 instead
right.
of posting God goes with me wherever I go. Mm-hmm. And so I won't say, like you had said in the beginning, kind of creep me out. But you know what? You know what I realized is, you know, and see, everything in life is a lesson. Everything is a curriculum. But what I realized is I thought, okay, here I am on Facebook and I'm putting God goes with me wherever I go. And it's like, yeah, there's that C.A. Brooks. You know, she should have been a nun. You know what I mean, it's just
that's what I always say about you, CA.
Yeah. Well,
and me too.
The truth is, you know, I do embrace this lesson. I do embrace the idea of God, but it is that undoing. You know, it's not the God of Catholicism. It's not the God of Christianity. It is not the God that we grew up with or that we think of. And so, you know, in fact, a lot of times when I start this show, I always sort of have a disclaimer and I say, guys, the one thing I want you to know is A Course in Miracles is not about Christianity. These words are being reinterpreted. The word God, the word Christ, the word Jesus, all of these words are being reinterpreted. But I also recognize that that's my own ego. Because I, you know, like I said, you know, sometimes I don't want to post that because it's like, I don't want somebody thinking, oh, there she is being that Miss Goody Two Shoes again, you know, cause what else do you think? Especially if you don't know me or you don't know A Course in Miracles, it sounds like God goes with me wherever I go. What a Goody Two Shoes, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's how it feels. So even that was kind of a lesson of saying, you know what? Get beyond the words, CA, because I do love this lesson.
Right, right. Well, and I think, I mean, that we, you know, it can be used in that sort of bliss mini fashion.
Yes.
Too, you know, that God goes with me wherever I go. And, you know, I, and really to amplify our specialness from what the Course calls our specialness. I'm really, you know, I'm a favored one of God. You know, I know God and God knows me and I'm a good person and, you know, I'm holier than thou and all of that. And that's the way, you know, most religions have that hierarchy of, you know, again, there's the favored ones and there's the cast out ones. And they're, you know, it's all based on behavior. It's all based on what's decided is politically correct. And the God that the Course is talking about is a completely non-dualistic God. And it's an undifferentiated union, which means there's no bodies. Nothing came of nothing. There's no form within it. It's completely non-dualistic. And there's no opposite to the love that it represents. There's no, you know, everyone is equal within God's love. There's no opposite. The idea that there could be an opposite to God, that there could be good and evil, that there could be us against them, was just that tiny mad idea that arose in an instant and was, from the Course's perspective, was solved in an instant. It was already laughed at. From the Course's perspective, this is all over.
You know, right.
This is just an after image of that thought and that we, you know, that we just haven't caught up with yet. And we can't, that's impossible for us to wrap our heads around, you know, brains that were specifically designed as defenses against remembering that thought, because that's part of this cover up too. But it's still true. You know, what's true is true from the Course's perspective. Nothing, that preface begins with, nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. You know, and well, nothing real can be threatened is our oneness joined as one with God. And that's where we truly abide, you know, and we've forgotten that. Nothing unreal exists is what we think we're living. That includes me and you, CA.
Right.
And, you know, and everybody listening and so, and all of this bluster that we see around us and my goodness, it gets worse all the time. It seems, you know, it's just, it seems like with the many avenues of updating ourselves on the latest state of the union, I was going to say, which is hilarious, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you know, that's a great term, really, an ego term, right? The state of the union, as if there could be union here.
Right.
The world was created to, you know, as a defense, as an opposite idea to union, as a fragmentation of union. That's what we believe we did. And therein lies the guilt that drives us to try to cover it over and pretend that we're driving our, you know, that we're creating unions. But the unions are always to exclude. The unions are always hateful at their base. We don't know what union means anymore. You know, even the special relationships that we involve ourselves with one-on-one have all these ulterior motives, you know? Largely unconscious, but some of them not. You know, mm-hmm. we think it very, very normal to try to be really nice to people to get our own ways. You know, we feel like that is something that you just do. You know, we put on a good face if we're in a job interview or for our employers, we say the right thing. We say what they want us to hear. You know,
right.
We do that. I mean, we do it with whatever we need something from someone. We know exactly how to get it. And it's so automatic and considered such a normal thing that we don't think twice about it. You know,
yes.
But it's not sincere. Nothing that we do here is sincere. It's all bargains to try to get our needs met. Because again, we're born into this world, you know, constantly trying to make it work. And well, now that we're here and now that we have all this scarcity that, you know, God has turned his back on us. And that's, you know, the way we turned it around. I mean, we turned our back on him. And you know, now we're really screwed. So we don't think anything of, you know, trying to screw others to get it. I mean, cause we're just trying to survive, you know?
Right. Well, and that's it. In this world that we've created, as long as there's separation or we believe in separation, then it's either you or me.
Exactly.
You know, it's either you or me. And I think it's very difficult for us to really, in our heart of hearts, conceive of anything where we're both winners.
Right.
You know,
right.
Where it really is a win-win situation.
Right. And, you know, that requires, we can actually be selfless in our relationships, but only when we're joined with our right mind, only when we're joined with that memory of wholeness within us that doesn't have needs.
Right.
You know? I mean, that requires a shift away from the ego and saying, you know, that undoing that you were talking about is the undoing of guilt. And that's done for us through this process of forgiveness, which is based on questioning the cause of what we think is the problem.
Right.
And, you know,
yeah.
And we have to constantly question. I mean, that the consistent, to the best of our ability, you know, vigilant questioning in our experience day in and day out, every time we're rattled by something of, you know, that maybe I'm wrong about this being the cause. You know, maybe my peace is not as fragile as I think it is. You know, maybe this rejection letter I got really doesn't have to throw me into, a downward spiral for a few days, you know? I mean, that it doesn't have the power I'm giving it. I am not the short story I wrote.
Right.
You know, I'm not Susan. It has nothing to do with that. You know, my self-worth comes from God. God goes with me wherever I go. I never left God. I don't have to keep atoning and getting approval to try to prove that I'm okay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're all trying to do. That's why we're trying to do it. It has nothing to do with what the circumstances that we're using to try to make it happen, you know, to try to feel better, you
right.
know?
Well, and like in the second paragraph of this lesson,
it says
the separated ones, which is all of us, have
right.
invented many cures for what they believe to be the ills of the world. But the one thing they do not do is question the reality of the problem.
Right.
And I always love that when A Course in Miracles comes back to that because, you know, we do it all the time. We're always messing with what I would consider to be the effects instead of the cause. And to me, the example I give to a lot of people, I mean, because I think this is what it is. And if we did it, we'd think it was silly. If you were baking cookies and you forgot to put in the salt or you forgot to put in the sugar, you wouldn't taste the bake. And sorry about that. There's something going on.
That's okay.
I'm not sure what it is. Some imagined
some
ill.
Some emergency.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Some urgent emergency. But in any case, if you bake those cookies and you realize you forgot the sugar, you forgot the baking soda, or you forgot the salt or something, you wouldn't pull them out of the oven and then sprinkle it on the top.
Right.
You know, because we would all know that. It's like, no, you've got to go back and put it in the batter. If you don't put it in the batter, you cannot change the effect. You've got to change the cause. But I think in our lives, we do it all the time. And it's some, you know, we would so much rather rearrange all the deck chairs on the Titanic. Then go back and build the boat right or go back and put on, you know, the life jackets or whatever. You know, we're always kind of one step short or one step behind because we're always, in a sense, I think, trying to take the easy way out.
Well, and the Course says that the ego always wants to have us look to effects and not the cause. You know, we turned our back on the cause, which is in the mind. And we look always to the effects, which is external, which is, you know, to the body, to my body, which is also external, and all the bodies that I think are the problem for me. You know, my body is often a problem, but other bodies are usually way more of a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, they're usually the cause of why my body is a problem in some way, you know. So yes, exactly. So we're always trying to fiddle with effects. And never, and, you know, while denying the cause. And then we wonder why, you know, nothing changes. And so, and the Course is never trying to change the effects. It's trying to undo the cause, which is the guilt in the mind and our belief in it, our belief in separation. And so it goes on to say its effects cannot be cured because the problem is not real. The idea for today has the power to end all this foolishness forever. And foolishness it is, despite the serious and tragic forms it takes. And then he goes on to say, deep within you is everything that is perfect, ready to radiate through you and out into the world. It will cure all sorrow and pain and fear and loss because it will heal the mind, which is the cause, that thought these things were real. That took the tiny mad idea seriously and had to project it all outward, right?
Mm-hmm.
And suffered out of its allegiance to them. And, you know, this blind allegiance to this lie that we are bodies, that this world is real, that it's important, that we have to fix it and change it. And, you know, mindlessly try to make this work. That baby that's, you know, grows up, I've got to try to make this work. Wow, am I screwed? You know, that's mm-hmm. how we all feel. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, we try and we try and we try to somehow come up with some kind of compromise that will work here. And it just, it, you know, we can fool ourselves for a while, but eventually it doesn't work. We're back to being aware that we're completely alone. You know, we're alone in this. And when we face death, we're going to be alone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it feels. And it's not true. But, you know, if we keep looking only to trying to deal with the effects and never question the cause, it can't be the guilt that is truly fueling all of this can never be undone. And so Jesus is saying, you know, how's that working out for you? You know, are you tired yet? Do you want to keep doing this? It's like I said in the beginning, I don't have to keep doing this anymore, you know, and the mm-hmm. questioning the cause, that those steps of forgiveness again are lesson 5. I'm never upset for the reason I think. That's where whenever we are experiencing anything that seems, you know, it can be a minor twinge of annoyance or something that seems really devastating for us. The practice. And we don't have to believe it in the moment. You know, I think that's really important to remember. Most of this is done behind the scenes in the mind for us. We just have to take the tiny steps to open the door to the love that is still within us, that has our back. Mm-hmm. And all that requires is lesson 5. I'm not, you know, maybe I'm wrong about this as the problem. I'm not upset because of blank. Whatever seems to be happening. And then lesson 34, I could see peace instead of this, you know, and, mm-hmm. and it's just the awareness I could. I don't have to be right now. You know, we're not going to deny what we're feeling, but I could see peace instead of this because the teacher of peace is within me. God goes with me wherever I go. You know, the ambassador for God is Jesus' Holy Spirit. And that's within me. That memory cannot be extinguished. It can't go anywhere. I turn away from it all the time, but it's still within me. You know?
Right. Well, and I was just thinking, we really need a workbook lesson that just says, maybe I'm wrong. You know, because, well, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, at the very, very, I guess, basis of it, just like when it says in here, you know, you never really stop to consider the real cause. You're always messing with the effects and you never stop to think of that cause. Because what are we the most resistant to? Ever thinking that we're wrong.
Right.
We're so convinced that these defenses, that being right, that getting all the information, having all the resources, whatever that means, that somehow that's going to protect us. And it never, ever does. And so ultimately, if we could just kind of jump to that step, maybe I was wrong.
Absolutely. Well, that's
that
really
opens
the
door.
That's the first step. And that's really what we're supposed to be doing as course students. Every single time we go through something, we're supposed to stop and say, maybe I'm wrong. That's exactly right, Sia. That's what lesson 5 really is saying.
Right.
And
it would just be funny if there was one that just said, maybe I'm wrong.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, if you went through the text and the workbook and highlighted every time he says something like that and says, you know, and does use the word right, that I'm wrong. I'm right and you're wrong. He's always telling us he's right and we're wrong. and you know, that just goes right by us. But yes, we're wrong. And, you know, we don't need to know. We don't have to analyze this. We don't need to know why we chose this script. We don't need to know why. We can't know that. And the Course tells us that that's a senseless musing. You know, from our perspective of where we think we are, there's no way we can know that. And it doesn't matter anyway, because it really is solved. And so, you know, so now that it's here, if every time I could just say, this is, you know, I'm wrong about what I think this is, or this is a symptom of my belief in separation.
Right.
That's all
it is. Yeah,
the
whole basis is wrong. That's it. The whole basis is wrong.
Yep.
And, so it doesn't matter what grows out of it if your first premise is wrong.
No, and it doesn't matter. I mean, that doesn't mean that we don't go and do the normal things. And I went to the chiropractor. I've been to the chiropractor 4 times in the last week and a half. But I also noticed, you know, so do whatever. It would be unkind as long as we think we're bodies. And the Course says this to not, you know, alleviate the pain in whatever way it seems helpful for the moment. But, you know, just as you're doing it, recognize it is an effect that you're treating, and the cause, it's not treating the cause. But if you go through that, the compromise approach is to go through that while also reminding yourself that I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm wrong about what I'm trying to fix, and I'm too afraid right now to just completely, you know, drop it. And that's okay. You know? And again, mm-hmm. it wouldn't be kind as long as we look in the mirror every morning and that's who we think we are. I mean, it's what you do, you know. And even in the real world, when your body is still here, you know, your body may be doing something that maybe sickening in some way, maybe facing whatever. It doesn't mean that you wouldn't go to the doctor, and that would probably be the kind thing to do for people around you, you know. At the level of the mind, what we're trying to open ourselves to is that love that is there to remind us, you know, you don't have to keep suffering like this. You know, we don't have to go into the panic that we feel. We don't have to go. What I was noticing in myself with this back thing, and other, you know, and it was reflective of, you know, breaking my hip and breaking my ribs years ago and dislocating my shoulder, a lot of other injuries, you know. So then the past gets involved in it too, you know.
Right.
This is coming back to bite me. I knew it would, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so, but what I was noticing was how frantic I got with it. You know, I mean, I just, those first couple days, it was like, okay, I got to nip this in the bud because I have too much to do and I've got, you know, I can't let this debilitate me. Instead of just, you know, again, like sort of just letting it, being with it, being with my teacher with it. You know, I kind of just threw Jesus out the under the bus, as Ken used to say. And it's like, I'm going to go fix this first and then we'll talk, you know?
Right.
but it's like, it could have been such a gentler process if I had been willing to say, okay, well, the body's up to something. And obviously, you know, the cause is not in the body, and there must be something that I need to let go of here. And, you know, and so the magic, you know, which the Course calls the treatment however we're treating it, trying to solve the problem where it's not. We shouldn't feel guilty about doing the magic, because we use that all, you know, breathing is magic, Ken used to
right.
say, you know.
Right.
But eating is magic. I mean, we use magic all the time, but we don't have to, put it, you know, allow it to make us so mindless that we forget what our real purpose is. As course students wanting to find our way home, and our real purpose is to allow the undoing of this guilt in the mind, you know, so that I can remember the loved and loving self that I really am. Because right, you know, in the state that we're in, we feel so alone because we feel that we rejected love, and so we constantly experience rejection and retaliation for that, you know, and it's not a pretty picture.
No, it's not. And I was just telling somebody the other day, you know, and this is an analogy that we talk a lot about in the Course. You know, it's not a matter, because once again, the person was saying, well, then I should just quit living totally. I mean, I just should go sit by the road if nothing matters. And I said, no, wait a minute. I said, you go to the movies and you enjoy the movies, or maybe you don't. You go, ooh, that was a scary movie, or that was a bad movie. I said, you don't stop going to the movies. You don't stop enjoying them just because it's not real. Just because something,
right.
you know, or because something's not forever. You don't say, I'm never going to eat another bowl of ice cream because it only lasts for 5 minutes. I mean, you know, that's not the attitude. You don't just give up. Like you say, you live in the world. We continue living our lives and try to be as normal and as kind as we can. But we don't have to believe that this is all there is. In fact, that's the other thing I said to her. I said, what happens, I think, so much is that we start believing this is all that we are. We
yes.
are this body and this world, and that's all we are, when in reality we are, you know, divine beings having this physical experience. And we forget that.
Right.
We get all caught up in the movie. I said, so you don't have to let go of the body. You don't have to let go of the movie. You just don't have to believe that it's everything that you are.
Absolutely. And that's right. This is not all I am. You know, that's a good reminder too. But yes, it's, this is, you know, again, this is not my self-worth. This is not my, all I am, you know, and I'm wrong about the cause. Something else is going on here, you know, a part of me. And what's usually going on when we're in that kind of panic and forgetting what we are and trying to fix, you know, frantically fix and change and solve, is we've become afraid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said in the beginning, this followed a period. I mean, especially if you're a regular course student who's really trying to live this, you may relate to this more than if you're not, but I think it happens anyway, but, we're just not aware of it, but these periods often follow, of really, you know, of ego attacks, I think of them as, or ego tantrums, usually follow some form of us having become right-minded, you know, and having allowed, opened that door to the fact that this is not all I am, and it's not all anyone else is, and opened the door to that awareness that, you know, that memory of wholeness, Holy Spirit, Jesus within us has and holds for us, that we are equal. We are equal learners here. We're all trying to learn the same lesson, that we are, you know, that we are not the home of evil, darkness, and sin. And we're all trying to frantically find some kind of meaning in a place that's meaningless. And it's an excruciating thing. We're all born into bodies and trying to make, you know, that baby trying to grow up and make it work here, when on some level we know we can't, you know, all the while feeling so abandoned. So it will, you know, are those experiences of our right mind always involve an awareness that we're all the same. And it's an awareness that brings enormous, for me, gratitude. You know, I mean, that's where the release and the relief come from. I'm really not in battle with everything here. You know? I don't have to solve all this myself. I don't have to defend myself all the time. I don't have to prove myself all the time. I don't have to, you know, smile and make nice all the time. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, because we're all trying to do that. It's exhausting.
Well, and, it is. It is exhausting. Well, and somebody else had asked me a question. I don't even remember what it was in context to, but like, why do people do that? Why do they do that? And I said, because we're all trying to control something that's uncontrollable.
Right.
You know, this illusion that we have created is still not really under our control. There are, you know, we don't like living in a universe where we are constantly reminded that things change. You know,
right.
We don't want them to. We want to control all these things that we really don't have any control over because, in a sense, we set it up that way.
Right.
You know, the ego loves to keep us on our toes.
Well, and the one thing that we do have control over, which is our mind.
Yes.
And our decision for which teacher we're going to, you know, listen to and what purpose we're going to give our lives, we completely deny.
Right.
That we have any control over. We believe that at best, we believe we're sort of victims of the decision-making mind. I mean, I know I've fallen into that trap where it's like, well, yes, I know the Course is saying I'm a decision-making mind outside time and space, but all I identify with is my brain. And, you know, I have all of these, and the decision-maker keeps throwing all of these curveballs into my script, and I'm left here alone to deal with them, you know?
Right.
And I mean, that's kind of the scenario we can get into, and it's ridiculous, you know. It's just the ego, you know, joining the journey again, and so, you know, there's never a time that we're not truly decision-making minds. We're just denying it all the time. We don't choose. It's not me, Susan, choosing what experiences I'm having, but whatever experiences I'm having, the decision-making mind, and the one that gets to choose whether I respond to them as a forgiveness classroom or I react to them as another attack upon the ego, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I have that power. I have 100% responsibility for the peace that I'm experiencing at any given moment. It has nothing to do with the curveballs that are coming in my script.
Yes.
That's the lie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and in one of the paragraphs in this lesson towards the end, it says, it's quite possible to reach God. In fact, it's very easy because it's the most natural thing in the world. You might even say it's the only natural thing in the world.
Right.
The way will open if you believe that it is possible. This exercise, meaning, you know, saying to yourself, God goes with me wherever I go, can bring very startling results, even the first time it is attempted, and sooner or later, it is always successful. So, you know, there again, just,
well,
you know, the one thing about the Course, too, is you just practice it, you
practice,
know?
Practice, 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 yes.
Yes.
And, I mean, actually, that's referring to also that little meditation at the end that half of this lesson almost actually is devoted to a very short but visualization meditation,
which is
really about sinking deeply into, it introduces that idea of the clouds of guilt, you know, that
right.
that later in the workbook, lesson 70, talks about going through the cloud. We have to go through the clouds of guilt to get to the, you know, the sunshine of the eternal mind on the other side. And we can only do that, you know, what's helpful is to not try to do that alone, to take the hand of our teacher that, you know, as long as we believe that we're still separate, the idea that we have a teacher, the symbol of Jesus can be very, very useful to us that, you know, as this completely non-dualistic Jesus, you know, again, a Jesus that you can really trust because he doesn't have any secret agendas. He's not just a better human, you know. And he can lead us through those clouds of guilt. But yes, it's entirely possible. We're always denying the possibility of a holy instant, of a moment, of a shift to right-mindedness, of you know, we always feel victimized. You know, he also says, is it okay if I read a little bit more just to leave people with some of the beauty of this lesson?
Sure.
And also, you know, well, he says in paragraph 3 and 4, I'm going to read a couple paragraphs. Is that okay?
Uh-huh.
Do we have time? Okay. So deep within you is everything that is perfect, ready to radiate throughout you and out into the world. It will cure all sorrow and pain and fear and loss, because it will heal the mind that thought these things were real, which is the cause again, and suffered out of its allegiance to them. I may have read that before, but I'll go on. Uh-huh. You can never be deprived of your perfect holiness, because its source goes with you wherever you go. And that's that uninterrupted union of God in which we still abide. You, the decision-making mind, can never suffer, because the source of all joy goes with you wherever you go. You can never be alone, because the source of all life goes with you wherever you go. Nothing can destroy your peace of mind, because God goes with you wherever you go. I mean, nothing happened. We didn't destroy God. That, you know, we are still one, a oneness joined with one. Just dreaming of exile. We understand that you do not believe all this. How could you, when the truth is hidden deep within, under a heavy cloud of insane thoughts, dense and obscuring, yet representing all you see? Today we will make our first real attempt to get past this dark and heavy cloud and to go through it to the light beyond. And then he goes on with this this meditation that, you know, into that presence within us that really is always there and is the light beyond the clouds. And you know, it's really the clouds are unreal. And yet as long as we think they're real, we have this symbol that can walk us through the clouds, you know, mm-hmm. and is with us. It's still with us, really, wherever we go. I mean, it's not, the clouds are unsubstantial, you know, it's the light that has never been extinguished that is the only real part of us. That's where our self-worth comes from. And that really does have our back. I mean, we can delay ourselves. We can, you know, we can go charging back into the dream. We can, whatever we do, it doesn't matter. We still made it home.
Right. Right.
And we will find the comfort when we've had enough.
Yeah, when
we finally had enough.
Pain.
I mean, I'm amazed sometimes at how much we're willing to suffer to atone for something that never happened. But, you know, it's quite enormous.
Yes, it is. And Susan, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you.
Do you have any announcements or, you know, last thoughts that you want to share before we close the show today?
Just another little plug for the foundation, for A Course in Miracles in Temecula, California. They're still doing some wonderful classes once a month, and you can find out about that by going to their website, which maybe you'll type on there.
I am. I'm putting it in the chat room right now.
Thank
which is www.facim.org.
Correct. And then also that I have done a couple of interviews with, I did one with Rosemary Lasasso from the foundation a couple weeks ago that's on my website. And I just finished one with Jeffrey Siebert, who's another teacher there, both of whom Rosemary and Jeff worked long time, decades with and studied with Ken and taught at the foundation. And they're really treasures of wisdom and kindness and have so much to offer us about the process of this. And so Jeff's interview will be appearing soon. And and there's other interviews with people from the foundation and with Ken there that people might be interested in. If they go to my website and look under interviews, they'll find them there. And Rosemary's is on the homepage, and, you know, Jeff's will be soon too.
Okay. And Susan is www.forays, F-O-R-A-Y-S, inforgiveness.com. So forays inforgiveness.com. And I put that in the chat room as well for those of you who want to go over there and take a look at it. So Susan, thank you so much for being here today. And thanks for the suggestion as always.
Thank you, CA. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Well, thanks. And everybody who joined us today, listening either live or maybe you're listening to this as an encore or on demand from our radio site. And for everybody who's in the chat room, thanks for coming over there. And I just, it's always nice to see your pictures and to see your comments. It, you know, definitely reminds us that we're all one and that we're all in this together. So thank you so much. And thanks to Christy Brower for being here today and being our producer. And please stay tuned because there's a lot of live programming coming up next here on 1-2 Radio. And so until next week, relax and wear loose clothes. You have been listening to the Friday Morning Show with C.A. Brooks and my guest, Susan Dugan, on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about life and about spirituality.